From the perspective of the world, things had suddenly taken a turn for the worse for Jesus. He'd gone home to Nazareth. Good thing, right? Going home. But there, he was rejected by the very people he'd grown up with. And then right after that, his cousin John the Baptist, who had been arrested and left to rot in prison because King Herod didn't like the topics of his sermons, John the Baptist, his cousin, was beheaded at the request of the dancing daughter of King Herod's illicit lover, his brother's wife. That's the background behind the first verse of our gospel lesson this morning. When Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Now, you just might get the idea that Jesus could have been scared or that he just couldn't quite understand how such bad things could happen to such a good guy as himself, or that he simply needed to get away, regroup, rethink, or perhaps he was even running away from all the bad stuff that was going on. But that doesn't sound like the Jesus of the Scriptures. True enough, Jesus did withdraw from there, in a boat, I might be so bold as to add, to a desolate place by himself. But he did it for a reason. He didn't do it because he was running away. The great good shepherd was not abandoning his flock. Rather, Jesus goes out by himself to a desolate place to draw out his flock, that he might have compassion on them. He left so that they would follow him. And draw them out, he does. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow him. Follow him, giving no thought at all to preparation. Jesus leaves and they follow him completely unprepared. No ice chests, no reservations for dinner, no little bags of Cheerios for the kids. They just get up and follow Jesus to the desolate side of the lake, just like Jesus knew they would. From the first day of Cub Scouts, little boys are taught, do your best, always be prepared. And I'm sure the same thing happens in Girl Scouts. And from that point on, we are a people prepared for anything. We've got contingency plans for our backup plans. It's hard for us to understand why anyone would go off unprepared for the day, and why Jesus wouldn't alert them to the fact that it might be a good idea to just pack some food. But he did it for a reason. He did it so that they would have to rely on him. As self-reliant as we are, as in control as we might think we are, as ready for anything as we make ourselves out to be, what happens when you're not? And those times come along too, don't they? What happens when you're caught unprepared? What happens when no matter how diligently you got yourself ready, the unexpected happens? What happens when you find yourself caught out in the wilderness? The wilderness of an intensive care unit or an emergency room. The backcountry of uncertainty over your job, your finances, your family, your future. The wasteland of well-thought-out plans evaporating right before your very eyes. The boondocks of divorce and family tragedy. The wilds of parenting infants, let alone teenagers, or caring for aging parents. And the wilderness of that no man's land of death, either yours or someone else's. What happens out in that desolate place when the day's over, the sun's going down, and you just plain don't have anywhere else to turn? What then? Then, Jesus. Jesus didn't accidentally forget to tell them to bring food on the journey. He didn't tell them on purpose. He didn't do it so that he could do and speak and give those things that his flock needed the most. No scolding reprimand on the value of thinking ahead. Jesus doesn't put on his life coach cap and tell them, "What were you thinking?" No, Jesus has compassion on them and on you too. When you discover you're alone in the wilderness, completely unprepared, Jesus doesn't lecture you on your unpreparedness either. The good shepherd never sends his flock away. His flock might be in the wilderness unprepared, but that doesn't mean he's unprepared. In fact, he may have drawn you out into the wilderness that you're in right now just for this very reason, that he might do and speak and give to you those things you need the most. When life's rolling along generally without a hitch, when there are no Herods that you can't handle trying to sever your head from your body, when your health is good, your bed warm, your cupboards full, your finances fair, your job stable, and your kids going through that time in their lives when there are no high highs and no low lows, you can be pretty cocky about life. Heck, you're pretty hot stuff, self-reliant and boldly confident. You've got life by the tail, and you can look down from that proverbial pedestal on all those poor people just trying to make it through the day. Heck, you've got all the answers. But when you're stuck in the wilderness of life, when your life is in a desolate place, when things aren't working out and you're feeling alone, forsaken, troubled, worried, scared, know this. Your Lord didn't leave that crowd alone on the desolate shores of that Galilean lake. And your Lord doesn't leave you alone either. In a sense, the desolate shore is exactly where your good shepherd wants you to be. Oh, not that he enjoys seeing you struggle and squirm, not that he gets his jollies out of you being worried and scared, but rather, when you are, and when you know it, when life hits you between the eyes and the perfect law of God justly condemns you, he uses those times to show you his care and compassion in ways that, well, you're just not open to when life is always coming up a bed of roses. And so Jesus has compassion. The desolate place at day's end became for Jesus' little congregation a green pasture and quiet waters. With the stories of John's ugly death fresh in their minds, with the hustle and bustle of life rattling their cages, and Roman Jewish politics creating unnerving tension throughout the region, there in that desolate place, a calm in the middle of a storm, Jesus had the crowd sit down on the grass, the shepherd with his flock, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, more than enough for him who opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing, as the psalmist tells us. And they all ate and were satisfied. Do you think that simply means that they were stuffed, fat and happy? Or was it that they were satisfied in the presence of the one who is the bread of life and the life of the world? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They were a congregation satisfied even in the middle of a wilderness, for their good shepherd was with them. Satisfied because they would rather not be anywhere else than with him. And so it is in this wilderness, this desolate time, this unnerving place, this terrestrial ball on which we eke out life, our good shepherd has us right where he wants us. Not to punish us, not to give us what we deserve, for we deserve nothing, nor to teach us a lesson per se, but so that he might have compassion on us. He who won't leave his flock alone in the wilderness goes himself alone to the desolation of the cross. Not out of control, but in total control. To bear our sin and be our Savior. To give his life so that we might live. That we may live with sins forgiven, with death defeated, that we may live knowing that whatever happens in this desolate place, our good shepherd is with us through it all. That we may live, not just here for a while with bellies filled and wishes granted, but forever in a kingdom which has no end. In this wilderness, where everything ultimately is coming up empty, and there's nowhere really to turn, turn to him who opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Him who turns wilderness into green pasture and desolate moments into times of blessings. He does, and he will. The situation Jesus was experiencing didn't just pop up on him unexpectedly. Things weren't spinning out of his control. No, he was spinning everything for us and for our salvation. And so it is that if he humbles us, it's so that he may exalt us. If he takes, it's so that he may give. If he kills, it's so that he may make alive again. Only faith can grasp that. And so he calls us to repentance that he may do all of that for you. To repent because really we are nothing without him. Why are you here? On the shores of this desolate place, this desolate time, on the Lord's day, in the Lord's house, why are you here? Because you've been invited, called, gathered by the great good shepherd of the sheep. He's brought you here to a calm in the middle of a terrible storm, to a place away from the trials and tribulations of this dying earth, to a place away from all the stuff of this life, to a place where he's promised to free you of your sins, release you from guilt under which you've been struggling, and shame over your failures. He's come to save you, to rescue you from your enemies, those enemies who you know and fear, and those enemies you don't know, enemies that even now are preparing an assault on your life. He's brought you here to join his life to yours, your deadness to him who is the bread of life and the life of the world, a life that is now yours in the waters of holy baptism, a life that he feeds at the table of his altar. And for all of this, you do nothing. This food of which Isaiah spoke is free. Free to the multitudes of men and women and children gathered in this church, at this altar, and throughout the entire world. The living water, the word of life, the forgiveness and salvation that's received only by faith. It's all here for you. You who come with nothing, but leave with everything. Leave with Jesus. Of course, you can always say, no. He'll never force the finest of wine and the choicest of meats down your throat. He'll simply offer it to you for free, free of charge, while Satan tries to get you to go to yonder village and buy garbage that will never satisfy. But know this, whether you're here or whether you've snuck off to that empty village, your Savior is still calling you, leading you to receive His good and gracious gifts, that He might show nothing but compassion to you, that you may be His own, satisfied and rested, knowing that nothing can separate you from His love, not death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. For you have a good shepherd who does all things well, who opens His hand and satisfies the desires of all of His people. In the name of Jesus, amen.